And thank you for joining us today in downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message from our pastor, Gary Washburn.
Awakening. This is the year of awakening, okay? Something's got to change. Something will be different. It will not be the same. It is time to arise. Church, arise. Church, arise. Everybody on their feet. Church, arise. 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 Amen? We got to stand. We got to stand. We got to believe. We got to trust. We got to hope. And we got to move. Amen? So before we go any further, let us pray. Raise your hands. Ready to receive? Amen. Awesome God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this service. We thank you for everyone that said yes and took a part. We thank you, Lord, for the willing hearts. We bless them in your name. We thank you for every person that is here today, Lord. It's not a coincidence. It's not an accident. It is all part of your plan and your purpose, Lord. You are sovereign God. You know it all, can do it all. You're everywhere. And we recognize you in this day. We honor your name. We glorify who you are. We exalt you. You're already great, but we make you great. We make you big in our life, Lord. And we say, awaken our minds. Awaken our hearts, my Lord. Awaken us so that we can stand, Lord, in the dark places. So we can stand where nobody wants to go, Father God, and do the work that you have called us to do. Do the work, Father God, that you have called us to do. The task that you have put in our hand. Let us awaken, awaken, and look down and see what you've given us for us to move in that direction, Lord. Lord, we take every negative thought captive in the name of Jesus. Any distracting thought captive in the name of Jesus. We pray, Father God, that you invade the hearts, Lord, and that you penetrate in the deep places. Father God, that your word may speak life, Lord, where there currently is death, my Lord. That your word may speak renewal, Lord Jesus, where there is hopelessness. And you will receive all the glory. You will receive all the honor in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. I love that video. It's so intense. It looks like two families are going to get down and they're going to argue. We were here first and you're just invading our hangout spot. But little to know that it was that they were asking for prayer. And the best thing about the video is that 90% of the people that got together to do that video are unbelievers. Amen. They said, I have a bike, I have a car, be there. And they were there. And it was just an awesome time of fellowship, and it was a great ministry opportunity. And like my husband said before, God has a way of connecting people. And so we are hoping and expecting that those people may walk through those doors one day soon. Amen. As you already all know, Pastor Gary is not here. He had asked Pastor Miguel to speak, and for those that don't know, and we'll speak about that on another time, this project of Tap Me If You Need Prayer, we launched out September 11, and there's another launch on the National Day of Prayer, which is about 90 days away. There's a countdown on the page if you want to go visit. But we're also going to mobilize those churches in India. Some already mobilized, some are not. And so in April, there will be a trip to India for this Tap Me project. So please have that in your prayers. Amen. Because we're going to move forward. Amen. But anyway, he wanted to speak after his trip to India. And so I had started to prepare a message based on a recent experience my husband and I went through, and I would like to share it with you guys today. I think it's going to inspire you. I think it's going to make you see the topic is death. Who wants to talk about dying? Nobody. Okay, well, good, Russ. But the great majority of us do not want to speak about death, okay? Why? Well, because it's something, in some places, is a taboo. I know when I speak to my aunts and uncles, and they're Latinos, so I don't know. But in my family, they're like, ooh, no hable de eso. Don't talk about that, okay? They don't, it's the fear of the unknown. We trust, you know, our faith, our hope and our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. So our hope is that, yes, we will see our Savior face to face, but still we don't know how we're going to die. You know, is it going to hurt? Is it not going to hurt? Is it going to be sudden? Is it going to be slow? Is it going to be in my sleep? So there's still a level of uncertainty there. And so nobody wants to talk about death, but today we are. And you can start with the first slide. Follow with me as best as you can. It's going to be a little bit different. First and foremost, I want to thank everyone that was in prayer for our lifelong friend and brother in Christ. His name was Digno, D-I-G-N-O, Digno, very unusual name. Actually, the name in Spanish means worthy, Digno. We had known him for a long time. When we first met him, my husband and I were dating. And so we were not even engaged. And immediately, he just took us under his wing. I'm 39, he was 40, so he's not that much older than I, but obviously had more life experience. And so he took us under his wing and said, you know, I want to mentor you guys. I want to just encourage you guys. And we went on a couple of double dates and, you know, they spoke life into our relationship and they kept us focused on the Lord. And he ended up being the godfather of our wedding. And so we moved together to Florida. We took this journey together to Florida. We saw his children little. He saw our children being born, him and his wife. And so there was a lifelong friendship there. He went into the ministry. He became an ordained minister. He was an active pastor. But he was diagnosed with throat cancer about 2 years ago. And next slide. Upon receiving the news of his condition, Digno had a decision to make, okay? And how many of you have ever received a bad report of any kind? Doesn't have to be medical. It could be something else. Move on to the next slide because I want the pictures to keep current with what I'm saying. So about 2 years ago, he received this bad report. You have throat cancer. And again, upon receiving the news of that condition, he had a decision to make. Do I run? Do I hide? Or do I stand? And I keep on moving. He chose to stand. And he chose to keep on moving forward. Amen. That was not going to slow him down. That was not going to even make him trip. He made up his mind. Okay, I got that bad report, but my God is greater. Amen? And so Digno immediately started a video journal of this new quest he was about to embark. He, you know, a lot of people knew him. His church was very fond of him. So he said, you know, the best way to communicate what's going on so that people can pray and I can encourage people is by doing a video journal. And I'll just post it on Facebook and people will see it when they can and they'll share it if they want. So he began that. He ended his first diary entry with the following words, which became his life motto. And I'm not distracted, but I do want to know if the slide's working, because I would like for you to see the photos. 1 second. Okay. Amen. God is good. And so he created a life motto. And the motto was, Lord, may my life be a platform to display your glory. That's what he said. Through this journey that I'm going to embark. Okay, that was the second slide. That's when he got the bad report. And you can move on to the next slide. Awesome. That's how he looked in his latter days. And then the next slide with the motto. Praise the Lord. That's him and his family. Lord, may my life be a platform to display your glory. He chose to take this bad report and do something with it, as I said. I'm going to move forward. And God's going to glorify himself through this situation. Through this adversity, his name will be glorified. Everybody will see, and it will point them all to Creator God. Amen? Amen. So, Digno totally trusted God for a physical healing. Okay? He knew that Creator God could create the miracle of a new body free from the deadly invasion of cancer. I mean, he created heaven and earth, okay? He created everything in it. This was nothing. So he's like, if God wants to restore me, he can do a brand new work. Amen? In one of his videos, he declared to his viewers, look what God can do. Amen? So I don't know if the video works. I have a video that I would like to share with the congregation. He said, I decided to believe in God. With that being said, I decided to trust in him no matter the circumstances. So I want you to be inspired by this video. Praise the Lord. Awesome God. There he goes.
God bless everybody. This is Digno.
Praise the Lord.
Just making a quick video. It's been a long time since I've done a video, and I figure, you know what? Let me just make one now. Kind of put the people up to page with what's going on in my life and, you know, my situation. Well, thank God I've been feeling great. The tumor in my throat area has been completely cleared. The treatments that the doctor gave me were successful in that area. The process that I went through was, oh my God, it was just the worst. But all glory to God. God has been there by my side, giving me the strength to press on forward. I have seen him with me, and I've seen the way he's worked in my life, not only with me, but also with my family. Well, unfortunately, my journey is not over. After a CT scan or CAT scan that was done, the doctors found that I have some signs of cancer on my back. It's not 100% sure because there need to be a biopsy done, which is going to take place tomorrow. So tomorrow morning, I'll be at the hospital getting a biopsy done in my back to see if it's cancerous or not. Then from there, they will determine what will be the treatment. You know, in all of this that has happened in my life and all these changes that I have gone through, there is one thing that I am sure of, and that is the God that I serve. He is wonderful, and he is worthy of all. My life is in his hand, and I just got to trust in him. The Spirit put in my life a theme, like always, and my theme now in this process or in this new stage is that I have decided to serve the Lord. I have decided to believe in God, because to believe in God, it's a decision. You do or you don't. And I have decided to believe in God. And with that, with believing in God, I believe in who he is. I believe in that he's the God that heals, that he's the God that restores, and he's the God that never lets me down. So I believe in him and I trust in him. Yo, I just want to ask you guys to keep us in prayer. And when I say us, I'm talking about myself and my family through this process. And let God do whatever God wants to do in my life. So far, he's been wonderful. And although it's been rough, I could be very honest with that. It's been very rough, but I trust in him. So I hope that's an inspiration for you. If you're going through some struggles right now, why don't you trust in the God that you have decided to serve? God bless you. Take care.
Amen. Every single video. Was that? And I'm not here glorifying him. I am glorifying the God that I saw through his life. Because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So that was not because of his own strength, his own wits, his own will. That was because God had supernaturally empowered him to be able to stand in the midst of adversity, even if it was facing death itself. Before he passed, there was one time that here on a Sunday, Pastor Terry was singing the song, You're a Good, Good Father. And when I heard that song, I was like, he was already in hospice. I turned to my husband and I said, I gotta go see Digno. That just came out of the blue. I know when the Lord deals with me, because it's this outrageous pressure in my chest that I cannot shake off. I feel like I'm going to throw up my heart, and I don't mean to be graphic, but that's the best terms I can use to explain the feeling. So I just felt that tug, and I knew that we had to go visit him. So immediately after the service, not only to go visit him, but to play that song, that he is a good, good father, regardless of what we are going through. He sees and he knows everything. And so we ended up going to hospice. There was no one there but his family. And let me tell you, his journey was a testimony to the doctors and the nurses, because his room was always, always, always full of people. If it was not his family, it was his church family. If it was not his church family, it was the church leaders. If it was not his church leaders, it was his coworkers. Okay, the room was always filled, and there was constant worship in that room, 24 hours. They would bring a piano and they would start worshiping God. They would put videos and start worshiping God. There was constant worship in that room. God's presence was baked in that room. So I don't doubt that the next patient that visits hospice and gets placed in that same room, God is going to intervene in their life. While they're sleeping, while they're resting, or even if there's nothing left of them, God is going to intervene, because God's presence was baked into that room. It was an oven. So we showed up, and it was just family, and his son said, come on, no church people up there. It's just family, so come on up. So we went up, and we had only taken the baby and John Michael. We left all the other kids. And so we go there, and this is funny. Miguel was like, okay, we need to be strong. We can't be breaking down, you know, in tears. We got to be strong. Strong for his wife, strong for those that are there. Come on. We're going to go pray, and we're going to go worship with them, and we're just going to have a grand time, but we're not going to break down. And I said, okay, we're not going to break down. So we walk into the room, and of course, the last time I saw him, he was thin, but this was like he was skeletal at this point. And his wife was reading a greeting card full of people, greeting card that someone had sent. And so he was like in and out of consciousness, and he was speaking very randomly and very low and very muffled. But we walked in at that point, and so I was a little bit of like a shock factor. And then she said, hey, Miguel and Betsy are here. And so he said, oh, beautiful family. So we got close to him, and then I said, well, Digno, I gave him a hug, I gave him a kiss. I said, we were in worship today at church, and the Lord prompted me to, that you need to hear this song, and it's called Good, Good Father. And he was like, okay. So we put it on, and it starts to play. He's like, hold on. Bring everyone in. So we were like, okay. So rewind, play again. Hold on. Make sure all the little kids are here. Put them, sit them at my bed. And we were like, okay, rewind, play again. And then he said, wait. In his muffled, very, he had no energy left, but he still made an effort to speak. He said, I want everybody singing. So we rewind and we play. And we start singing. And it was God's glory in that room. It was like a heavy, heavy cloud. It was like, I mean, nobody could move. All we could do was sing. But there was such a stillness of God's presence in that room. And it was like the Lord preparing us all, regardless of what's coming, regardless of the outcome. He is a good, good father. So, you know, I'm there. He had told me to relax. So I'm swallowing the knot in my throat. The tears are just falling, but I was like, I am not gonna, you know, just make a scene here. So I quietly look back, and I'm like, oh, Miguel's gone. Where's Miguel? The one that told me to be strong is out bawling like a baby. But anyway, that's a funny note. But the reality is that God's presence was baked in that room. Did you know that almost one-fifth of the Gospels is dedicated to Jesus' ministry of healing? Matthew 4:23, and if they can keep up, fine. If not, that's okay. I definitely wanted you guys to see the pictures. Matthew 4:23 says, Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Later, it doesn't end there. Jesus gave his disciples the authority to heal the sick. So it was not just him. He passed it down. It says in Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 2, when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out proclaiming the kingdom of God and healing the sick. You've been given that same authority. After Jesus resurrected and ascended, the disciples continued healing many people. In Acts chapter 5, verses 12 to 16, it tells us that the apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people. And all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else there joined them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. So Jesus did it, his disciples did it, but guess what? Our God is still the same God. Okay? He has not changed through the times. Times have changed. The culture has changed. Society has changed. Worldviews have changed. But our God remains the same. Amen? Digno believed, as I do as well, that God is still the Lord who heals. That's mentioned in Exodus 15, 26. God has not lost his ability to heal. And that divine healing may come through traditional medicine. I believe God has given the great capacity for many to prepare themselves to assist the sick, okay? We call them doctors and nurses. And God can also directly intervene in response to prayer and do just a creative miracle where absolutely it was just God, not through anybody. God has not stopped performing miracles. With all this said, we know he's a healing God, but with all this said, we should not forget that sickness and disease and pain and death are still the realities of the world. Why? Because these are a consequence of sin. Unless the Lord returns, guess what? Everyone alive today will die. And the vast majority of them, Christians included, will die as a result of a physical problem. That could be disease, that could be sickness, that could be an injury, okay? It is not always God's will to heal us physically, okay? Digno, as do I, believed in a sovereign God, okay? The sovereignty of God means that all things are under his rule, okay? He is above all, okay? And nothing, absolutely nothing in this world happens without his direction or his permission. His purposes include all things and all people. No one is excluded. His purposes are never opposed, are never stopped by anyone or anything. Okay? Isaiah 46:11 reminds us, from the east I summon a bird of prey, from a far off land, a man to fulfill my purpose. What I have said, that I will bring about. What I have planned, that I will do. So nothing takes our God by surprise, absolutely nothing. We may be surprised, we may be shocked, we may be baffled, but our God, he knows it all. The sovereignty of God is not just the fact that God has the power and the right to govern all things, but that he does always and without exception. In other words, some of us may say, oh, yeah, I believe God is above all. He's sovereign. He knows it all. But what about this? And what about that? And why didn't he do this? To know the sovereignty of God is not just to know the fact that he can do all things, but to know that he does it always, without exception. There's nothing that's too great or too small. There's nothing that's hidden from his presence. Amen. God is not only sovereign in his words, but in his actions as well. It's not just a spoken word. Yeah, God is sovereign. No, it's that we see his sovereignty. To say that God is sovereign is to confess that he is the Most High and that there is no one higher. He is almighty. Do you know what almighty means? Okay? Might belongs to him. Okay? To say that God is sovereign is to admit then no one can overpower his guidance. No one can hinder his plan, and no one can resist his will. He has the last word. Psalm 115, verse 3 reads, "Our God is in heaven, and he does whatever pleases him." To say that God is sovereign, okay, that he is above all, is to recognize that he's the one that establishes kingdoms, good or bad, overthrows empires, okay, your time is done, next, and determines the direction of dynasties, okay? You see, when a person witnesses childbirth, and I've been through it 6 times, okay, there is great amazement. How many of you have witnessed childbirth or have been part of the event of a birth of a child? It's awesome, you know? It's just really, to know that this being is just like, wow. Wow, God, you created that person inside of me. It's just amazing. When a person witnesses childbirth or is part of the event of a birth of a child, there is great amazement. There is just awe and there's wonder. Nevertheless, let me tell you something. When a person witnesses death, there should also be great amazement and great wonder. I have to tell you something. I've been through a few losses. Some have affected me more than others. I guess it depends the depth of the relationship. But every time someone dies, I go through this, I don't know, grieving process myself. Because it's just, I start thinking and I start wondering, what is that point when you close your eyes and you open them again? You know, whether that be onto eternal punishment or whether that be onto eternal glory. Because guess what? It's not just heaven. There's a hell, okay? And the only way to escape hell is to trust the one who came to rescue you from it, which is Jesus Christ, okay? So this testimony that I share with you today, I do want to honor the life and the death and the legacy of my friend, okay? But I also want to exalt Creator God, who I saw through his life and his death. Matthew 5:16 encourages us. It says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Okay? We know that we are saved by God's grace. Absolutely nothing we can do can save us. Just holding on to Jesus, okay? But as we live out our life, the choices that we make, the words that we speak, the decisions that we take, we demonstrate who Jesus is to others. And everything we do should point to who? To him. If we declare, if we are confessing to be followers of Jesus, we must live in a way that will show others what Christ is like. If we declare to be followers of Jesus, guess what? Not only what must we live in a way that shows others what Christ is like, we must also endure in a way that will show others what Christ is like. And I'll take it a little further. If we declare to be followers of Jesus, we must also die, okay? We must also face death in a way that will show others what Christ is like. I have never seen a death that was so glorious as my friend's death. I mean, his journey, the way, not only the way he lived, showed who Christ was like, but the way he endured, the way he pressed on, the way he persevered, showed what Christ was like. And the way that he died, I mean, it's still a testimony of his faith. And it still points that there is a God who is sovereign and in control. Although the outcome was not what we expected, although there's a grieving process because we miss the presence of our friend, his death shows what it is to serve Christ. Amen. Amen. Psalm 116, verse 15 reads, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." He finds it precious. So should we. Digno's death spoke to me in so many ways, as I've already mentioned. diagnosed deaf showed me, I think it was the first time I realized that death has a voice. Death has a voice. It says something. There's a message to be heard every time someone dies. And I'm going to tell you what those are. Diagnosed deaf spoke to me a reminder that time is fleeting. Okay? And I know it may sound a little morbid, but I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm an only child and I had a lot of time to think because I had no one else to play with. But I had the awareness of time since I was a little kid. You know how little kids are not aware of time? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Is it time? Sometimes they can't even tell, is it afternoon, evening, or night? There's no awareness of time. In my clock, when I was little, I was aware of time. And I guess it was because I had a lot of solitude time, a lot of times where I was alone. And so I guess that was how the Lord was dealing with me. But every time I see or hear or experience death, and in this case, the death of my friend, it reminds me that time is fleeting. There will never be another January 29, 2017. Never, ever. There will be another January 29, but it won't be the same year. You won't look the same. You will be older. Your life experiences will be different. It may fall on a different day of the week. You may not be in this place doing the same thing. So today is once in a lifetime. It will never, ever, ever come back. This is the only life that's given to us. I've always wondered when I was little, why was I born now? Why wasn't I born before? And sometimes this may be too way off for some, but this is me as a kid. I was thinking, wow, I'm alive. I just felt like, I don't know, it's like I saw my inside. It's crazy, but that's how I thought. Okay? But it is the only life given to us. You see, we don't believe in reincarnation. Okay? You live multiple lives and each time you come back as something else to fulfill a new purpose. No, it's once in a lifetime. So do you realize that this is the only opportunity that we have to serve God on this planet at this capacity and to know him in this way? Because once we're in heaven, we're going to see him in his glory and in his fullness. But here we're seeing him through people, through things that happen, and we're piecing stuff together. And God delights in showing himself to us in that way. But it's only once in a lifetime. Even the longest life is short in comparison to eternity. You know how I like to describe eternity? From no end to no end. No end to no end. I mean, it never finishes. So even the longest life is short compared to eternity. Those who love the Lord need to be aware of how they spend their time. Psalm 90:12 reads, "Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." You know what it means to teach us to number our days? Does it mean I count today and the next day and we're up to 3 and 4 and 5? No, it means to make them count, to make them worth something. We have no time to waste. But let me tell you what else diagnosed death spoke to me about. Remember, I said death has a voice. It spoke to me about how to take our eyes off earthly rewards. Matthew 6:19-21 says, "Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust can destroy them and thieves can break in and steal them. Wherever your treasure is, there the desire of your heart will also be." Now, let me make a side note. It doesn't mean not to be wealthy or to make a plan or to be responsible. Not at all. He doesn't forbid that. But whether we want to admit it or not, we fix our eyes, we put our sight on wherever our treasure is at. And God doesn't want our heart misplaced. Do you know what the word misplaced means? It's not where it belongs. God doesn't want your heart misplaced. And guess what? He doesn't want your eye cloudy. God doesn't want materialism to captivate us, to pull us away from what he has prepared for us in heaven. Third thing that Dignos Death spoke, because death has a voice, it spoke about how it is necessary to be stripped from superficial belief. Okay? We need to be totally convinced of who God is in our life. Okay? This is all the way. Okay? It's not halfway. And God doesn't want us to stay on the surface. He wants us to dive deep. I am reminded of the testimony of Naaman. Who's read the story of Naaman? Okay? Naaman was a general of an army of an enemy nation called Aram. And he had been struck with leprosy. Now, leprosy, as you all know, it was not a nice thing. Okay? It's basically your body is rotting. That's what it is. And chunks fall off. It's gruesome, but that's what it is, okay? So it's a debilitating disease. Over time, you won't be able to function, okay? Highly contagious, and it was just, ew. You know, you're falling into pieces. Do you think you're going to be pleasant to look at? No, so on top of that, you were rejected from society. So he goes to Elijah to receive a word of what am I going to do? Because I heard God uses you and you can give me a word of healing. Elijah doesn't even go out to greet him. He sends his messenger. So he takes offense by that. Doesn't he know who's coming to him? Okay. But Elijah was confident in who he served. And he said, I don't need to see him. Just send the word. And tell him to dip himself in the Jordan 7 times and he would be healed. Now, 7 is a number that biblically represents completion. It is finished. Done. Nothing else can be. You met the task. So he told him to dip himself 7 times in the Jordan and he would be healed. Now Naaman, if he was offended before, he's insulted now. Okay? Because he was like, out of all rivers, we've all heard it, Jordan, small and dirty. Okay? It's like going to Orchard Beach in New York. Who's from up north? Okay? It is not, I mean, it's swimming in trash. That's basically what it is. Okay, the Bible doesn't specifically tell us how Naaman dipped himself. It just says he dipped himself. But we can use our imagination, right? We hear Pastor Gary all the time. He uses his imagination, and we follow along. So follow along with me. So Naaman's like going in. He's disgusted. There's trash floating, you know, fish bones, something else. So maybe he gets this deep, and he's like, oh, let me get out. Oh, but sir, he said 7 times. You've only dipped yourself once, and it was just up to your calf. All right, let's go again. This time up to his knees. This is disgusting. This is like going into mud. Why am I doing this? But sir, he said 7 times. You have 5 more to go. Come on, get in deeper. Okay. Ugh, up to the waist. How awful is this? You know what? If I can only get my hands on Elijah, I would tell him 2 or 3. How dare he? I'm getting out of here. Sir, you have to listen. You're almost there. 7, finish the task. Complete it. All right. Now he's up to his torso. Ugh, really out of all places? I can't stand this. Oh, come on, sir. 2 more to go. All right, now he's up to here. It's like, something feels different. Doesn't hurt anymore. I think the sores may. What? Oh my goodness. What's going on? And his servant is like, go ahead, dive, just finish it. And he dives in. And when he comes out, he is totally healed. Okay? But something had to die. His pride, his ego, his need to be right. Okay? So God doesn't want you to stay on the surface. He wants you to sink into his presence. Sink into his fullness, everything that he has for you. Sink into his greatness. Dignos Death spoke, fourth thing that this voice of death spoke to me, about how pain and adversity strengthens the faith of those who endure, and how our attitude during that process serves as an example to others. Who here likes pain? Nobody here likes pain. We don't even like to be uncomfortable. Imagine, I thought of this one time, if one day we would come and have worship with no seats and no air conditioner and feel what it's like to serve God as an underground church. Ooh, exciting. We should do that one day. I'll talk to Pastor Gary, the underground experience, okay? But I'm gonna tell you, it's not gonna be easy because we're used to our comfort. As a matter of fact, I always sit in the same seat and I'm not even thinking about it. It's just like my body knows where to walk, okay? And let's say we knocked down two air conditioners and left it with one, I am sure that someone's gonna be like, whoa, I am hot in here. So we don't like to be uncomfortable. We don't like pain. But guess what? He is glorified in that process. He is glorified in that process. I don't know how many of you know the story of Stephen in the book of Acts. He was a deacon, okay? The deacons were selected to serve the widows and the orphans while the apostles dedicated themselves to the training of the word of God to preach. Well, the Bible says that Stephen in Acts chapter 7, he was a man full of God's grace and power. He performed many amazing miracles and signs among the people. Now, his duty, his responsibility was to take care of the widows and orphans, make sure that there was plenty of food to be distributed to them. Okay? It was like a food pantry. Where's Steve and Kathy Brunner? Food pantry, okay? But guess what? In the process, he ministered the word of God as well. And he performed many amazing miracles. And so I don't doubt that that's taking place in the food pantry right now as they serve. God bless you. Do you need prayer? Oh, let me pray for you. And there could be healing, and there could be salvation, and there could be deliverance while food is being distributed. Okay? It says, but Stephen was falsely accused. Okay? He was falsely accused. They set him up. Okay? Because they didn't like him. And so guess what? He made a decision. Should I run, should I hide, or should I stand? And he decided to stand, and he gave them a piece or two of his mind, okay? And he was facing death because their hands had rocks. And I'm going to tell you, it was not a pebble or a stone. It was a boulder, and they were ready to hit him, okay? But even in the midst of facing certain death after testifying about the greatness of God, before he dies, he looks up to heaven. And it says that he sees the heavens open and he sees the Son of Man standing in the place of honor, ready to receive him. So even in the midst of him being murdered, he sees God's glory and it serves as a witness. As a matter of fact, it says that Paul, or Saul, later known as Paul, was there at the stoning of Stephen. And so even before he was knocked off his horse, he was already seeing God's presence. Okay, through the death of this man. So let me remind you that death has a voice. I'm not done, I'm about done, but I have to make mention of this. I've been speaking about physical death and how the death of a believer especially has a voice. And I just told you the four things that death speaks, okay? But we also have to be reminded that we don't just face physical death ahead. The Bible says, Paul's saying, we die daily. Okay, spiritually, emotionally, and mentally, we have to die daily. The Bible says those that want to follow Christ are to take up their cross. What happened at the cross? Death. We have to take up our cross daily, every day, not every other day, not on Sundays and Wednesdays or once a week, every single day. Every time you wake up, Lord, I want to die to something that should not be in my life. I'm going to share with you a dream. Hopefully, I remember the details. I'm very bad with writing this stuff down, but I should. Shame on me. But I had a dream. I think it may have been more than a year ago. And in that dream, I was in a place that it seemed like a lab. You know, there was experiments being performed. And so I'm there, and somehow I'm engaged in what's going on. And the professor of this lab all of a sudden takes out a gun. It looks like what a silencer would look like, okay? And he shoots me with it. And I feel the bullet hit me. I didn't hear the bullet. That's why I called it a silencer. But I hit it. I felt it hit me. And I felt my inside being rotted by whatever was being, whatever chemical they were using for experimentation in that lab in my dream. It was like that bullet had whatever that was in it. And as soon as it hit me in the dream, I felt my insides dying. I felt like it, like acid, just like burning everything inside of me. And I was just like slowly dying. And I was he was walking around to see if I was dead. And I was slowly dying. I got to my knees, and then I kind of dropped to my side and then to my back. And I was on the floor. I was gagging. I couldn't breathe. I felt like everything inside of me was burning with this acid. And I was slowly dying on the inside, but I never died. Okay, I never died. My eyes stood awake. I was still breathing. And I'm thinking to myself, well, why don't I die? Everything inside of me is almost already dead. And so the professor in the dream was looking at me as well and wondering, why wasn't I dying? So I jump from that dream to another dream, all related. I'm in this place that where I know it's Grace Tabernacle, although it does not look like Grace Tabernacle. I saw a few people from this church, other faces I did not recognize, and other faces were people from my past. And all of a sudden, I see my friend Digno, and he looks back to normal. And he says, oh, God has healed me. Mind you, he died, right? God has healed me. And while he's testifying, all of a sudden, I start to get healed, okay? I start to get healed. And I start slowly, just as I felt death slowly, I felt coming alive slowly as well. And all of a sudden, I take the microphone and we start worshiping God and worshiping God. And all that came out of my mouth was, God has the last word. Okay? I just want to tell you, for those that were not here for the Eddie James concert, the Lord used Eddie James to give a word to this church. And the word was, Grace Tabernacle is pregnant. And this baby is about to be born. Hold on. Do not abort. Do not miscarry. Because this baby will be born. Okay? Why? Because God has a last word. So for us to live in God's fullness, sometimes, many times, actually all the time, things in us must die. Things in us must die. For that awakening to come to our city and to our land, things in us must die. Well, what must die? I'll tell you. I'm going to bring out some things. We must die to anger. Okay? I'm saying stuff in my life. We must die to anger. Why do I get angry? Because I feel like my point is not coming across, because I feel the need to be right, because I feel like I'm insulted. I need to die to anger because it's not about me. It is about Christ through me. Amen? What else must we die? To our pride. It's not about us. It's about Christ through us. So whatever we do should exalt his name. It doesn't matter if we get applauded or not. It doesn't matter if we get the title or not. It doesn't matter. Okay? What else must we die? To lies and deceit. Okay? Because if we are followers of Jesus, we must walk in the truth, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can go unto the Father if it's not through Jesus. So you see, daily, we have to die to all of these things. What we consider big, what we consider small, we must die. If it is not from God, it should not have any place in our life. So for us to live in his fullness, for us to be resurrected into what God wants us to be, the calling he has made in your life, the mission he has put in your hands, you must first die. Okay? Death has a voice. It's all around us. We see it every day. People are dying. It has a voice. It's telling us, go out and preach the gospel, because people are dying without Christ. And you having the truth are not sharing it. So death is speaking. Let's rise up. Let us awaken. Let us be everything God has called us to be, but let's be willing to die and say, Lord, take this out of me. I don't want it here. Let it be dead and buried once and for all, so you can rise in me all that you want me to be. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let us rise. We're going to pray together. We're going to pray for dismissal, but we're also going to pray so that God, today, somehow, he's touched your heart. Okay? The awareness of time. Time is fleeting. God told me to do this, and I'm delaying. Why? When today is the only day I'm going to get. Okay? We need to listen to the voice of death. It is constantly calling. God is using that voice of death to alarm us and tell us, get on your feet and rise. Awaken. There is a mission to be fulfilled. So the altar is open and counselors will be up here to minister. If you don't want to be ministered to, that's fine. You can lay at the altar and it's just you and God. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to express your word. We know it does not return void. Lord, it always, always has something to give, something to do, because you are Creator God. It was through your word that heaven and earth were created. So whenever you speak, something happens, something is formed, something is made, Lord. So I pray, Father God, that you may minister to the lives that come forward. You know their needs. You know what they need to die to so that your power can be resurrected in them and they can be all that you've called them to be. Thank you because you speak to us in the birth of a child, but you also speak to us in how people endure, and you also speak to us through the death of your saint, Lord. We give you the glory and honor. We praise your holy name because you are worthy to be praised. Father God, and as people get ministered, those that will be dismissed, take them safely to their homes. Keep us in this oneness and this togetherness and one mind, one accord, doing what you've called us to do for the glory of your name. Amen. If you'd like prayer, you can come forward. Everyone else is dismissed. God bless you all.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped you move closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at gracetab.org. Have a blessed day.